unsealed the tomb, rolled the stone down to the other end. Those men looked at him, and the Bible said that he just got up and sat down on the rock. Rolled away the stone that was over the door, and then got up and sat down on it. Just to say, how do you like that? The Bible said they fell like dead men. And Jesus got up and walked out. Then you know what that bunch of liars did? They went to town. They said, I'll tell you what. He really did it. He got up. I mean, that stone just come rolling off down there. And then he come walking out of there. So we just felt like dead folks. We couldn't even stand his presence. They said, I'll tell you what. Here's some big money. Keep your mouth shut, will you? Don't let nobody know what happened. But you just say, while we slept, his disciples came and got him up. That still would have made no difference. Amen. Because the Bible said he showed himself alive with many infallible proofs for 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. I'm glad that the world found out that Jesus Christ does exist and is still alive today. Praise the Lord. Brother McHearn was saying, talking about revival. I said at the very beginning, when they started talking about end time revival, I said, y'all need to, you know, there's an old saying in the world, just put your money where your mouth is. Amen? And there was another one we used to use. You don't talk, it's cheap, but it takes money to buy whiskey. And said, well, you ought not say that from the pulpit. Well, I'm just telling you what we used to do, you know. And that's just kind of the way I just always felt about this end time revival business. Why talk about it? Just go ahead and do it. Praise God. I've always believed, still believe, a church that wants a revival can have a revival. It's not gonna happen 5 years from now. I watched this kind of a proposition before. In 5 years, we're going to put on this speaker program, and we're going to do this. We're going to lengthen our courts. We're going to have tent makers, and we're going to employ people from other fellow churches, you know, and get them out of the big church and put them in little churches. Oh, we're going to have a revival. 5 years from now, simultaneous revival break out across the country. It's like one of these firecrackers. When you light the fuse, it don't pop. The only way to even get a fizzle out of it is to break it open and light a match with powder and go, it's all over. Hallelujah. But what I'm talking about is not a fizzle. Amen. Amen. It's not a fizzler. It has a potential and a power behind it to blow your hand off. Amen. Well, I'm just saying that we don't have to wait. So somebody somewhere else says, okay, it's time to have a revival. If you want a revival as a church, have it. How you do it? You just do it. If I understand this book right, the Bible says the fields are ready to harvest. Don't say 4 months. Don't say next summer. Don't say next winter. Don't say in the distant future, but it says, lift up your eyes now, for the harvest is ripe, it's plenteous. And he says, well, we've got a shortage of other laborers. Amen. And so a lot of times, folks, they want to sit on the sideline and see it happen, but they don't want to do anything to make it happen. Amen. Jesus went out one day into the marketplace. It was so long, about mid-morning, and he said, why don't you go in the fields of work? They said, nobody's hired us. He said, I'll hire you, go on. Amen. He went back about noon, and the spitting wheel boys sitting around twiddling their thumbs. And, how come you haven't gone to work? Nobody hired us. He said, you're hired, go. Amen. Then afternoon he goes back, there's another gang sitting around. Why don't you go to work? Nobody's hired us. Go. Thank you. give you a penny a day.
You all know the story,
don't you? Hey, man. You know what? He said there's a harvest out there to get in. We're fixing to have a storm. Hey, man, the storm's coming. We got to get it harvested. Hey, man. And don't sit here idle all the day. Just get up and get on it. Well, my wife was telling you that we celebrated, getting ready to celebrate 50 years at a wedding anniversary. We've already had our 50 years in the work of the Lord. But we are, as far as I'm concerned, just as zealous for the Lord today as I ever was when it comes to seeing souls saved. And I'm a little scared as to the future for some men and some preachers and some people, because we are living in a compromise age today. And I hear preachers say, and this kind of turns me off, when they say, you don't understand, it's different today. Are you different than I am? Do you eat? Do you sleep? Do you get hungry and thirsty? Well, I do too. So what's the difference in us? Somebody said, well, I was raised in front of the blue platoon, and I've got a mental deficiency. Well, I'm sure if anyone's going to give you one, that would. A lot of people use them for babysitters nowadays. I really hate to see what the kid's going to act like. Because I walk into the supermarket sometime with all this game deal, what do you call it? And see that all those motions and spots and stars and, I mean, just walking by. Whether somebody's doing it or not, they've got it going, so somebody will be tempted to do it, you know. And it affects me, just take a look at it, you know. And I'm sure tonight that the generation in which we're living, I believe I understand what people are saying, that they are of a different culture, that they are the way they have been reared. They did not have the discipline that us older folks had. So when they come into the church, you use kid gloves instead of boxing gloves, you know. When I came in, there was no sugarcoating for the Word of God at all. Yeah. It said, bless God, thou shalt, and thou shalt not, and that's all you did, you know. But today they tell me it doesn't work that way. But you know what? We have revivals all the time, and I see people get saved all the time. Man comes in with long hair, comes to the altar, repents. I've had a pastor say, would you baptize him with that long hair? I said, I'd ask you if he'd go tomorrow and get it cut. And I'd baptize him if he says he will. So the pastor said, will you get a haircut tomorrow if I baptize you tonight? Yes, sir. I don't believe people resent that. Amen. Man comes in with a beard and a mustache. Before I baptize, I say, hey, will you get you a razor and shave that mess off? And if he said no, I said, well, I won't baptize you. You know why? He's not dead. When a man repents, he dies. That is repentance. Death. Die to sin. Somebody said, well, that may be a one man's opinion, and after all, I've got my own ideas. That doesn't even enter into it. When the Apostle Paul was teaching on long hair on men and short hair on women, when he summed the whole thing up, he said, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom. That's it. It's a closed book. We will not tolerate long hair on men and short hair on women. And that's all there was to it. He spent quite a lot of time. He explained it all. Says it's a shame for a man to have long hair and a disgrace for a woman to have short hair, and it's given good for her covering and all this. He went into minute detail as to why. And then when he summarized the whole thing, he said, so if anybody is contentious about long hair on men or short hair on women or whatever. He said, we have no such customs. And we will not tolerate in the church of God. Now, to me, the Word of God is the Word of God, and I wouldn't take 3 months to explain it to somebody. It's because I was afraid I was going to hurt their feelings. Because before that 3 months was up, I'm sure their feelings would be hurt, if it could be hurt. Amen. I think sometimes preachers have built this image up in front of themselves and made themselves believe that this generation can't take preaching. But I believe they can take preaching. I would want to give everybody here tonight the benefit of that, that you can take preaching. If you can't take preaching, you'll never be saved. Because the Bible said it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Amen. After you have believed, you need preaching. Amen. And you need preaching before you believe. But when you say, I'm a believer, then you better hear the Word of God. And I believe that people that are hungry, that really want to be saved, they'll just line up to the Word of God. Amen. Preacher, open the book, start reading in there, and say, thus saith the Lord, you know. Well, if God said it, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to say, well, I just don't see it that way? I've had people tell me that. Well, I just don't see it that way. You know what I said? I don't care how you see it. That's what the book says. Well, that's too straight. Well, I'm sorry, I just got one book to go by. Somebody says, that's being dogmatic. You just got one God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. So, we had no choice. Amen. We had no choice. You've got, God only knows how many churches in and around Bloomington, Indiana. I happen to know that. You say, well, I've got a choice. It just all depends on how you look at it.
All right. Come on, brother.
Amen. Praise God. If I was to make a choice, I'll tell you for sure, I would not be looking for the most liberal thing in town. And I know you got some of them. Amen. Women wear pants, too, cut their hair and all that mess. Hey, people like that can't be saved. So what's going to happen to the preacher? He's going to take him right where the Bible says he's going to take him to the ditch. If he is a blind leader, the Bible said if the blind lead the blind, they will both go into the ditch together. Hey, you best thank God for a preacher that's got both eyes open.
Right.
That's not afraid to tell you, hey, you can't do that.
All
right. There ain't no women going to have that around here. Right. Well, I'll just pack my little grip and go across town. I know where I can go, where I can do what I want to do. Hello. Go to it. If you want to be saved, stay in the church.
Yeah.
If you want to be a church member, go join the anybody. You know, backsliders out of our church that make top doctor members in some churches. Amen. But they can't even be a member of our churches. Amen. Well, why don't you get on with the preacher? Well, I just warm it up. Praise God. I want to read you a passage of Scripture. I felt strongly some time back about this particular scripture, and I've been in church for the last 4 days, and I kept feeling after God trying to about this service tonight, and sometime when you got preachers cramming stuff into your ears for hours at a time, you could get bogged down, I'm not preaching what somebody else preached. I'm going to preach to you what I feel like God will be preached tonight. But this particular scripture that I'm going to read to you, I feel like is good for this particular time. We are definitely living, I believe, in the time of the falling away. When God spoke about a falling away coming, he was not talking to the denominational church world. God sees his church. That's all God ever does see. When this book was written to the church, Amen. And God's not recognizing everything that says we're a church. When Israel came up out of Egypt, he just simply said, don't go the way of the Moabites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. So, hey, just stay away from them. Just all you need is a highway up the King's Highway. That's all you need. You don't need their cattle and their asses and their oxen and their food and their waterways. You don't need that. I'll take care of you. You just go on up the King's Highway. Don't turn to the right hand or to the left. Don't let your daughters marry their boys. And don't let your boys marry their girls. I mean, God just laid down some guidelines for them to go by, because he knew there were going to be some cute little Moabites along the way. Amen. And so God said, hey, you just don't do it. I don't care how sweet they look and how nice they are and how good they can wink and all that kind of stuff. That's beside the point. You just don't do it. Did they do it? Sure they did it. Human nature is to do what you can't do. Hey, man, did you ever see a wet paint sign on a door and you really wondered if it was wet? Well, I declare. Sure enough, it was wet. They tried to tell you, but your curiosity got the best of you, you know. You might be driving down the road. Said, strictly enforced, no tolerance. I just wonder. Yeah? Yeah? They meant what they said? No tolerance. Chapter 11 of the book of St. Mark. I want to read two scriptures. Chapter 11, St. Luke. All the people said amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So her page is turning, so I guess you haven't found it yet. You got a Thompson Chain Rivers Bible, that's on page 76. Praise the Lord. All right, verse number 21. When a strong man arm keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all of his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoil. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. I'd like to first of all say tonight that I believe we are strong men. And when I say strong men, I'm including the ladies also. Well, a strong man arm keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoil or his goods. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about being disarmed. People usually, if they live in a strong house, feel secure. They've got double locks on the doors, deadbolt locks, maybe slide bolt locks. They may have the outside of the house bugged with lights, a motion deal that picks up anything that drives in the driveway or moves. Lights come on, a siren goes off. He may have bars on the windows, iron doors on his doors, extra protection. He may even have a burglar alarm that is wired to the police station. that when that alarm goes off, the police immediately are alerted. There's something about that that's what you call security. Security. The Bible said when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, he has a gun, he has equipment whereby to defend himself, and he feels secure. And so consequently, he feels no alarm. But the Bible says, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. The first thing is, the strong man has got to be overcome. He has got to be disarmed. He may have to be tied up, legs and hands, gagged. He is secured by the stronger. And so consequently, the stronger that he walks in, he takes all of his armor, he gets his gun, his ammunition, everything he trusted in, cuts the cords to the telephone, he does anything he feels like he's big enough to do, does it. Then he goes through the house and takes anything he wants, because he's already bound the strong man, and he strips him. And he leaves him in a position to where he can't move, and he takes his goods and spoils it, and takes off. All of his armor, as far that he trusted in, is gone. And I was sitting in a large meeting not very long ago, and I heard some preachers say, times have changed. We must change with the times. Not doctrinally, they said, but standard-wise. We cannot force our standards upon people out in the world or the church world. We have got to learn how, in this closing hour of time, to deal with people without trying to push something over on them. One very outstanding man in the ranks and his wife had a personal broadcast every morning, and they would come on the air asking questions, one to the other, and answering them. Where will we read today? Well, we're going to read about the division that they had in the early church. Oh, did the early church have a division? I'm merely quoting. Oh, yes, they had a division, because some believed one thing. One said, I'm a Paul. One said, I'm a Apollos. Somebody said, I'm of this, I'm of that. But, it just goes to show you that you cannot put your own interpretations off on somebody else and make people, conform to your thinking without bringing division and so on and so forth. And this was the trend of their message that was going out over the wave there, airways, to God only knows how many thousands of people. These were supposedly grounded, rooted Pentecostals who had leadership and really knew what they were talking about. When I put these things together, it made me realize what was happening. Hundreds of young preachers listening to this type of a thing, coming from the gray head of a man who had been down the road for many, many years and was very affluent in his ministry and so on, and now then they're listening to a man say, we cannot push our convictions off on somebody else. We cannot do this and we cannot do that. We have got to strike a medium somewhere that will cause people to, cling to us, follow after us, and we can eventually lead them in. Then I heard this other that said, we have got to change with the times as far as our associations. We've got to get in there and mix with them. We've got to bring them to the knowledge of truth. I found out a long time ago that the only way to bring people to the knowledge of truth is preach truth. You will never win people to God by compromise. But I understood what was being done. And I begin to read this Bible, and I just happened I believe by the Holy Ghost to come across this scripture again. When a strong man is armed, keep his father, his goods are at peace, but when he's stronger than he shall come in, then he overcomes him and takes away all of his armor. The Apostle Paul said, put on the whole armor. Having your breastplate of righteousness on, your loins girded about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith. Amen. And above all, he said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is your defense. This is what you trust in. When you disarm that, what have you got left? You've got what you call a charismatic movement. You've got an ecumenical movement. Amen. That believes in anything and everybody. Sin is no longer sin. And after all, God's not going to be so hard on that. Amen. So consequently, this is, I'm not saying this is where the whole movement is going. I'm merely telling you, this is the thinking of a lot of people. How can we win the world? That's what this is. But while I see people trying to win the world, they're losing their churches. They've compromised with sin. The old song said, they let out the bars, they let out the bars. The sheep went out and all the goats came in. And we are. The Bible said in the last days, perilous time, or dangerous time would come. I believe we're living in that kind of a day. All right. Oh, we've still got some men that are crying out. But on the contrary, you have some influential men who are going the other direction. And these men are pulling minds of young preachers. This is the way you do it. You don't do it that way anymore. I recently told somebody, I said, how do you think all these churches got here? Men with gray hairs on their head now, and some even retired and quit the ministry and dead and in their graves. They sweat blood, so to speak. Persecution. Whatever it took to bring in a church into existence. Amen. And a young man comes along and takes it over. He was not there. And we have some men who are masterminders, wanting to build super churches. And they're trying to tell us how to do it. Amen. And it's contrary to the way it's been done. And it's a little hard for some of us old gray heads, amen, to conceive and compromise, as far as I'm concerned, to reach this particular medium whereby to reach the world. The devil would like to disarm us. If the devil can get your armor away from you. Acts 2:38 is a necessity.
Yes.
You don't blindfold people and lead them to the baptistry and keep them from understanding how they're going to be baptized. You teach them. You are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. All the sins you were born with and committed, when you're baptized in His name, if you fully repent, they're gone. God said, as far as the east is from the west, even so shall He remove your transgressions from you, not to remember them against you. People need to know why they're baptized in Jesus' name. Otherwise, you can baptize them in any way, shape, or form, and it wouldn't make any difference to them. But when they fully understand, hey, I've been baptized in the only name under heaven given among men where I must be saved, it's for the remission of my sins. And God alone forgives sins and can take away sins. Well, now, it's all right. You know, tongues, we don't want to stress tongues too much because, after all, but you know what? There are a world out there today, almost everybody won't talk in tongues. Fact is, they even stand in front of the mirror and practice. You say, is that true? I heard it's true. Charismatic movement? Hey, they don't mind telling you, oh, we're going to teach you to talk in tongues. Say what I say. See my tie? T-I-E tie. Yes, sir. Oh, come on, brother. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. We baptized a young man in Houston, Texas one night. He asked the pastor, he said, was this right? He said, I went to a church last night. And they told me, he said, I was baptized in the church. And he told how I was baptized. He said, is that right, pastor? No, that's not right. He said, well, after I was baptized, then they said, I'm going to go back in his back room. We're going to teach him to speak in tongues. He said, was that right? The pastor said, no, that's not right. We rebaptized him in Jesus' name, and that night, he just still dripping wet from the night before, so to speak. Hey, if it's wrong, it's wrong.
Right.
If it's not right, it's wrong. Amen. And so here we've got the Word of God. Jesus is saying, this is the way it happens. A man who is strong, and he's armed, and he's keeping his house, and his goods are safe. They said, when somebody's stronger than he is, gets a hold of him. Disarms him. Takes away his armor. Spoils his goods. What can he do? And so this is what I'm talking about tonight. The devil, in some way, some means or other, would like to strip you of your convictions. Your convictions, according to the Word of God, is the best defense you've got. The gospel, according to the Word of God, is the best defense you've got. Amen. Well, I know the Bible says that, but what do you think about this? They tried to break you down. I've been a stickler all of my life for one husband and one wife, according to the Word of God. I don't need an interpretation that says that all you can have is one. I like donuts, but God knows I don't like to stop on one. Devour a half a dozen good hot donuts any time. But I know better than to do it all the time. So I don't do it. But when I think about it, I get hungry for them. Right now, my saliva glands are starting to work on me. Praise God. But you know, when I say this, I don't know you. You don't know me. I don't know what your status is. But if you've got one wife, keep her. If you got one husband, keep him.
All right.
If you got more than that, I'm not going to talk about it because that's not my message.
All right.
But I will say, if you got more than one living, you got one too many. Okay, enough of that. So I'm learning you quick, Brother Bassett. Yeah, you're just learning, I believe, what the book says.
All right.
Okay? Disarm me. Take my word. Take the word out of my heart. That's why David said, thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart. But I might not sin against you. The word of God in your heart will keep you from sinning against God. Let me drop this in right here. I hear people testify all the time about having struggles. I heard some here tonight talk about it. And it's not a disgrace to have a trial or a test because God said you're going to have them. But you don't have to fall and stumble around because you do. I'll tell you the reason why. You make up your mind. God, I'm going to live for you and it don't matter what comes. Once you make the commitment that you're going to live for God with all your heart and have no intentions of ever turning back, you'll take your trials and your tests with a stride. But if you're always worried about backsliding, you probably will. Amen. But if you will take your trials and tests, then there's nothing happens to you except God permits it. Amen. And if all you have to do, if a trial comes your way, say, God, I want to thank you for this trial because you said, when I'm tried, I'm going to come for the gold. What?
Yeah.
I'm coming for the gold tried in the fire. And God said he's going to have a tried people. After all, the Bible said, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a rock of a stone. Amen. A tried stone, a rock of offense. A precious cornerstone. A tried stone. Who is the tried stone? Jesus Christ, the tried stone. Now, if he, as our Lord and Master, had to have trials, what do you think we're going to do? I used to work for Allison Division of General Motors when I was in Indianapolis. Before we went on the field the first time. And I worked in the I worked in the bearing department. We had Rolls Royce silver-coated bearings and all this kind of stuff. But we had a heat treat. And if any of you fellows work in a factory where they have heat treats, you know, it's a certain kind of an oily substance they put in there, and it's just, well, it's, I don't know how many degrees they heat it to, but I mean, it's just boiling hot. You can take these not finished, but Rolls Royce bearings, silver-coated, before they've gone to the lathe, even, to take off the first coat. Put them in the heat treat, and blisters would come up on them. If they didn't get a good seal, a good dew on the silver plating, then they'd blister. Amen. And there was only one thing to do, scrap them. The reason they blistered was because they couldn't take the heat. And that's what happens to a lot of people, you know. The old saying is, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. But I want to encourage you tonight by saying that if you have the tendency to, I'm going to make it or not. Hey, get that out of your mind. Because Jesus Christ said, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. You don't have to fall. You don't even have to fail. The Bible says God can't fail. Lord, you promised to be with me all the time. Every day. Hereafter. On my way. If God can't fail, then he can keep us from failing. And so the biggest problem is with us human folks. We just maybe don't come right on down and say, okay, what, don't matter. Whatever it takes. I'm going through. You say, well, I don't know if I can make that kind of a commitment or not. Well, I tell a little story sometimes. Maybe you've heard it. If a pig and a chicken could talk, and they do get along in, you know, the same area. And so this old pig and the chicken was having a little conversation one day. And so the chicken says to the hog, hey, let's go in the business. Well, he said, what do you propose? Well, she said, let's go in the restaurant business. Well, he said, the pig says, how can we do that? Well, she said, I would furnish the eggs and you furnish the ham. He said, wait a minute. All you want me to do is give an offering. You want me to make a total commitment. Huh? Y'all get the point? When you make your total commitment to mighty God, I'm going to tell you something, friend. It'll be a lot easier for you to walk with God. Regardless of the mountaintop or the valley, it don't matter where you are, you just recognize, well, it's just the one, another one of those things, you know. I went to Joplin, Missouri in 1947 to build a church. There wasn't nobody asked me to go there. But I felt like God told me to go. And they tried for 50 years to have a church in Joplin, Missouri. Amen. Some of the fellows out of St. Louis, they even tried to hire them to go there and start a church. Nobody'd go. But when I went, they didn't offer me anything. And I didn't ask them for anything but a tent. I asked Brother Brandon, who was in St. Louis at that time, I said, has anybody got a tent I can use? He said, we've got, he said, the district owns an old tent. Probably good for about one season. And if you want it, you can have it. And I said, put her on camel and send her on down. And loaded that thing on Mr. Camel and he come hopping. Stretched that thing up 30 to 60. Started having church. We had church. Had a baptistry right under. Hey, I went there for business. I believed that remission of sins in Jesus' name was the only way man could be saved. So I wasn't going to wait till Easter Sunday or some other Sunday, gather them all up and take them to the river and baptize them. I wanted to do it. When the iron was hot, I wanted to hit it. After 12 weeks of tent revival and regular church, we come out, we had a nucleus of people. Remodeled an old house, knocked some feces out of it, and went in there for a while when the weather got cold. To make the story short, we built a church. Amen. Give them 10 years, the best part of my life. and moved out. That's where I baptized your pastor's wife. I moved out of there and went to Richmond, Indiana after 10 years. And I was 16 years in Richmond. Built some more church. Amen. God bless us with good revivals. We just had time. Felt led to move on and turn that church over to my son. 17 years later, I'm still in the evangelistic field. Getting a little tired. Amen. But I feel like I give the best part of my life to God. Amen. I was 26 years old, I believe it was, when I went to Joplin. And I just felt like I gave 10 years the best part of my life right there while I was in my prime. And when I walked out of there, I walked out free. Because I felt like I had done everything God wanted me to do. I had no remorse. I didn't have to look back and say, I'm sorry God, I didn't do more. I did everything I could do. Didn't have the biggest church in the world, but it was least self-supporting. I built a new parsonage for the next pastor to live in before I left there. And I didn't want him to have it as hard as I did. I had it rough. I don't mind telling you I had it rough. But all those things, that didn't faze me. We was remodeling the church and built it all in Richmond, Indiana. A fellow from over across the street walked in one night in Bermuda shorts and stood at the door and he shook his head. I don't understand you people. Said, you don't even know whether you'll be here tomorrow or not. And you're talking about me as a preacher. Well, the secret was, he didn't know it. We don't hire and fire. He thought I was just another preacher, you know. Hire him today and fire him tomorrow if you don't like him. I said, we're not working for people. We're working for God.
Yes,
all right. Amen. If I was working for people, I could have quit a long time ago and felt justified. Amen. I moved a 37 by 81 foot chapel from Neosho, Missouri to Joplin, Missouri, well, outside of Neosho, about 30 miles, and rebuilt the whole thing over a 37 by 60 foot basement and so on. Did all that. But when I walked out of 10 years later, I didn't say, now, you owe me so much. Amen. When I left there, I didn't have to tuck my head and say, well, I'm sorry, I've got bills hanging on to me. I didn't have to do that because my name was good, my reputation was good, my credit was good. Amen. Fact is, my bank said, wherever you go, whatever you need, if you need a recommendation, have them to call me. Amen. So are you both for God? I'm not both. I'm just telling you, when you make up your mind to live for God, you're going to live for God.
That's right.
Amen. You don't have to worry about backsliding. Oh. Amen. I got a feeling somebody's been toying with the idea of leaving the church. If that's in your mind, honey, let me tell you right now, get that out of your system.
All
right. Yeah. Amen. You'll die and be lost and go to hell out there in the world.
Right.
And the world doesn't have anything to offer you.
That's right.
The devil's trying to disarm you.
Yeah.
Get your Holy Ghost. If I can just keep him out of church. I guess that's one of the biggest tools the devil's got. Keeping people out of church. You know it's a sin to stay out of church. When you can be there, it is. So how do you know? The Bible said to Smith, he uses the tools in the fire. They knew how to handle the tongs. They know where to hit and what not to hit. Amen. And so they said, we can get rid of those guys. No sweat. That's why the devil works on a preacher. Do you pray for your preacher? If you don't pray for your... You ought to be praying for your preacher every day. If you don't say anything but, my God bless our preacher today. Be with him today, Lord. Amen. Every morning when you get up, you'll say, God be with our preacher today. Because the devil, he knows if he can hit the preacher, he'll get the congregation. I've seen whole churches turn because the preacher turns. But I think we've been doing this wrong all this time. I think this is what we need to do. Now, I don't think it's really necessary. We've made it necessary up to this point, but I think I see my mistakes. And he said, well, hey, the flesh likes that. Now, we've been against TV all this time, but I don't know that it's all that bad. After all, it's got a knob on there. If you understand and learn how to turn the knob, you know, and only watch the good stuff. What's that? Then everybody gets a TV. Even those that didn't have one, they go and get one because, after all, the pastor says, all right. And my flesh said, that's what I want all the time. Man, I'm glad God spoke to him. Did you ever hear that old Gord Vide song? Huh? Said, come out from under that Gord Vide preacher. You know, like Jonah sat under the Gord Vide. Said, God sent a worm and eat the Gord Vide away. Talked about the lovely ladies with their long flowing hair. Because if that old preacher would have stuck to his preaching, that sister's hair would still be long. Hey, it's to the time the devil wants to de-arm us.
Yes.
After all, I heard a preacher at a big conference not very long ago. In one of his first remarks, preaching to thousands of young people. He said, well, he said, this fourth generation, he said, I guess they call us the perm-age. Dear God, we never would allow a permanent wave. Wasn't allowed to get any. Oh, am I clear off base? Did I lose you? Whatever will you look? It's frizz. I told them a long time ago. I said, if some of you gals will pray as long as it takes you to do your hair and curl it up like you do, my God only knows what kind of revival we'd have.
Praise God.
Hey, I'm talking about being disarmed.
Right.
People say, give us the good old days. Take us back when 50 got the Holy Ghost. Hey, I can remember plenty of revivals that God gave us with 40 and 50 getting the Holy Ghost. And those days, it's not the fact. One reason why I've hesitated to get on the bandwagon with end time revival as such. There's some down to earth roots to get into. This just talking about roots and grass while ago. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if the church don't stick to some old time standards, there won't be no roots. You'd be like a weed with a straight root that long good. Amen. Every wind of doctrine come along. Glory to God. Oh yes, I know. Oh yes. Oh, but it's wonderful. Oh, I tell you what, you just feel the sweetest spirit there. I know they had earbobs on and short hair and all that kind of stuff, but and some of the ladies even had pants, and they were just out there just dancing around. Oh, my. I said, but you could feel God. You know what that's doing? That's weakening the strong man. Hey, watch him. Watch him. He'll tie you up. You better be careful. First thing you know, you won't even be able to wiggle. I would rather be a little dogmatic and feel justifiable right than to have this qualm in my system. Where are we? What are we doing? Is this really what God wants us? Now, we've been taught against it all of our life, you know? I hear people talking in tongues, and surely it must be the Holy Ghost. That's the way I got it. But you know, when God filled me with the Holy Ghost, I was working on a farm at the time, but I was a golfer. I was a pool shooter. Amen. I was a show goer. I liked to go bowling. I went to the skating rink. I went to the dances. I played slot machines, pinball machines. I did it all. Smoked cigarettes, drank a little bit of water, smoked a pipe once a day, all day. So, lo and behold, when God reached in and got a hold of my heart and squeezed it, put that heart of flesh in there. Cigarettes went. moving picture show went. That's why I never could see TV for Christians, because God saved us out of the moving picture show. But y'all don't have to be all that quiet, I know, because, well, of course, maybe you do. I don't know, maybe you have to be. But I don't know that I want to listen to you anymore or not. But stick with me, will you? I haven't got Israel out of this mess yet. Hallelujah. Yeah, you like me. You're all right. But I'm saying, I was just 18 years old. I was just, Thursday night, don't bother me on Thursday. That was my wrestling match night. Anderson, Indiana, Armory, Thursday night. Only missed one, and I can't figure out how I ever missed that one in 1 year's time. Thursday night, that was my night. You'd think I was addicted to a wrestling match that some folks are to a TV. Well, it gets quiet when I'm at the TV. Y'all got TV? Surely and undoubtedly nobody here watches TV. If God says, would you go to the show? Huh? Don't cost too much. Oh, I see. But the Lord saved me out of that moving picture show, you know. So I just didn't go there. Hey, I liked it. Every week I was in the picture show. Wrestle match Thursday night. Skating rink Friday night. Picture show on Saturday night. Bowling alley in between times. Dance floors and all, you know. We I was in the world. The Bible said that your father's the devil. And his works you will do. Everything I did belongs to the devil. I never went to church, never thought about God, never sung hymns, never sung gospel songs. I was just full of the devil. He was my daddy. I did what he wanted me to do. Does the book say that? Whosoever you are, members to his servants, you are to obey, whether on the sinner or on the righteous. I was a sinner. I dare say every last one of you were. See, Paul tried to get us out of that mess when he looked over his church one time and he said, know this, no whoremonger, no adulterer, no idolater, no fornicator. Amen. He said, I want you to understand, none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Yes. And then I just see him back off and he pointed his finger and such were some of you. Well, I like that. We were. And such were some of you. Amen. But what happened? You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of our God. It got you out of your mess. It changed the direction. It got you from a downward road to an upward road. Hallelujah. That's where I was. Amen. But when Thursday night rolled around, the week after I got baptized, here come the old guys. Let's go. I said, I'm going to church. Come go with me. Church. I didn't leave them. They left me. If they went one way and I went the other. Go to work the next day. Guys will never get over your cigarettes. Have one. Sorry. No, thanks. Couldn't bag one off of them. Stick them in front of you. The tempter. Come on. Come on. Let me buy you a drink. No way. Offer to pay your way here, there, and somewhere else. That's when you're a sinner. That's worse on them. But not now, because it made a difference when you went down to Jesus' name and God gave you the Holy Ghost. Amen. He took that mess out of your life. Amen. And if he didn't do it, friend, you better come back here. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't expect you to say amen to everything I say. And I don't even expect the pastor to say amen any time, because I don't even hardly ever look at it when I preach.
I preached in a church one night, and they said, did you see the pastor? I said, no, I never looked at him. He said he had his head down between his knees. He didn't want to look at his congregation. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, we're having a time. Do you know that?
Yeah.
This is what I'd call having a time. That's what the guy told me one night. He said, come go to church with me. He said, they tell me they're having a time over there. I said, time and church. Who ever heard of having a time in church? It's always boring to me. But hey, when I got there, that glory was going up. Hallelujah. They was running around the church.
Amen.
Dancing in the spirit.
Yeah.
Power of God followed. I punched the guy in the side and said, hey, you think they really got something or they're just putting on? Just about 3 nights ago, I could take that, and I had to find out. Hallelujah. After I got, I could sing, I got it. Something about this Holy Ghost, I can't explain, but oh, Lord, I got it. You know, the world is hungry for this. And you may think that they don't want to line up the holiness. That's not true. They're sick and tired of what's going on out there. The church world in general have let the world down. A few years ago, and you will probably remember, the Roman Catholic Church was losing members like flies to a garbage wagon. Amen. And they said, what are we going to do? I was in Port Arthur, Texas, at a revival meeting. We baptized a young Catholic boy, and his priest got up and he said, you don't have to leave this church. We believe in speaking in tongues. I guess he taught me in Latin, I don't know. But you know what they started doing? They started having guitar music in the church. Who ever heard of guitar music in a Catholic church? What they said was, hey, if this is what you want, that's what you're going to get. They realized there was something pulling their people away from their churches. They said, don't leave the mother church. Go ahead and talk in tongues. Go ahead and believe in miracles and signs. And well, go ahead and enjoy your music and so on. But don't leave the church. But you know, it's just impossible for a live chicken to live under a dead hen. And when you get what I'm talking about tonight, you're going to come out of that dead, stale, stagnated church.
Right.
Amen. The little Salvation Army guy walked in the revival. Was preaching one time up in Detroit, Michigan. Big old theater building with a pastor. And I mean, we had a crowd that night, and the power of God was falling. And Salvation Army girl walked in up at the front door and was looking in. And one of the ushers saw her, walked up to the lady, said, you're welcome to come in if you want to. She come in, had a little blue bonnet on, all that kind of stuff. Power began to fall. She was slayed under the power of God. And she came walking down. If you want to see, I walked back there and I said, lady, I said, you can have that. She said, let me ask you a question. Could I still wear my bonnet if I got that Holy Ghost? I said, I don't care whether you wear a bonnet or not. Amen. Before she left there that night, she was filled with the Holy Ghost. And as far as I know, never been inside an apostolic church before. When a person is hungry, they're going to get what they want. God said, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He shall be filled. Amen. All we got to do is create a hunger in somebody's heart. Somebody that testified tonight. Oh, if I could just testify and tell them what God did for me. If you're just a saint in the church, that's the thing to do. Don't indoctrinate them. Don't try to explain the Godhead. You know, just tell them. That's what the Apostle Paul did. In most cases, he referred to his heavenly vision. Oh, they said, man, you're mad. You must learn, man, you're mad. Oh, I'm not mad, most noble pastors. You don't know what I know. You haven't been where I've been. Hallelujah. Hey, man, I was a persecutor of the church. Hey, man, I was this and I was that. Oh, I haven't changed much. What happened? The Bible said that they took the smith out of Israel. Consequently, with the skilled men out of Israel, at random the Philistines could come in. After all, there was no swords. The Bible said that Saul took 600 men, went out to a certain place, He said there was not a sword in Israel except the sword of Saul and Jonathan. So they had two swords and 600 men. How do you like that? My. What a thin, even minority. Jonathan's getting kind of fidgety. You know, there are some people you just can't hold down. They can sit around and suck their thumbs so long, but they get tired of that. They're not getting nothing out of it. Can't help it. Come go ahead. Let's go take a look at the garrison. What's going on over there? After all, God can deliver by many or by few. It don't matter to God, you know. It's through the crowd of God. He said, I am as you are. Whatever's in your heart, do it. Oh, that's good. That's so good for people to feel that way about the pastor. Come on, sir. Let's rise up and build. We need to build. When you're 80% full, you need to build a new building. One good revival. Turn y'all upside down. Amen. Come on, let's go. Okay, we're behind. Let's go. What are you behind with? You said, okay? No, no, it's going to take some greenback, work, prayer. Amen. Whatever he said, do this good. So, that's some cat in the wall. Nobody paid attention after all. But this is over here, some over here, some over here. Well, Saul, he's laying down on our pomegranate tree. Had a sword, but didn't matter to him. After all, we only got two. Me and Jonathan only got a sword. Saul was him. He only been one up from the same day. That's what he did. His face, the Bible said, all the days of Saul, he never inquired of the ark. Saul was a big fellow. Look, the gold was up above everybody in Israel. Evidently, he thought he could do it with his own might, his own power. But the Philistines told him different. So he's bogged down. Jonathan and the armor bearer went slipping off out of camp. Nobody even knew the difference. Half of them was asleep. They had some guards up on strategic locations, watching the Philistines in case they were to invade them. And down over there. They had to climb up through a hole, two sharp rocks, one on each side, barely squeezed your way through. Jonathan said, see, I'm very excited. I'll tell you what we'll do. And he said, we'll just squeeze up through that hole. That's where they'll see us. And if they say to us, he'd been no doubt down in the camp when everybody else was messing around, sleeping and just leisurely around. It was Jonathan. He probably talked to God a little bit. Because after all, when he goes on there, he said, God, he don't need a whole bunch. By many or by few, he can give us the victory. That's the kind of faith he has. Huh? Hallelujah. And so he said, I'll go up first. He said, we'll expose ourselves, and we'll let them know we're here. And if they say to us, come on over, he said, that'll be a sign that God's going to give us the garrison into our hands. But if they say stay, we'll just stay right here because we know that, everything will be all right anyhow. But, okay, the armor bearer says, I'm with you. Whatever you do, I'll do. I don't have a sword, but I've got your rod here. I'll carry it along. So, up through the hole they go. Jonathan goes up first, pulls himself up, climbs up on his hands and feet to get up. Armor bearer comes up after him. Oh, one of the garrison. He raised up. Huh? Hey, look. The Israelites, they're coming out of their holes and their dens where they've been hiding. Ha ha. Come on up. We will show you a thing. Did you ever threaten somebody by saying, you do that again, I'll show you a thing or two? Yeah, you know that old saying, don't you? In other words, I want you to know. I'll let you know how the cow eats cabbage. So, that didn't discourage Donald at all, because he had victory on the inside. He already knew what God said. By many or few, it don't matter to me. I'll take them on. You go on, Donald. Obey what God tells you to do. Oh, John, turn his arm around.
Let's go. They're telling us to come.
I told you that'd be a sign that God's already given them in our hand. Let's go.
So they went walking out there.
And they rather said that Jonathan, he was in the lead, and the armor bearer was right behind him. And it was evident that he had the rod in his hand, because the Bible said David slew him first, and then the armor bearer. I guess David knocked him down, the armor bearer hit him in the head. He didn't have no sword. They had to be using a stick of some kind. Evidently, it was Jonathan's rod. Old David, he wham out of the gun. They fall backwards, and pow. That's number one. You know. Here they come. Pow. Number two. Pow. Number three. And the Bible said, and they slew 20 men, as it were, in about a half an acre that an ox could plow. You see, why was God so specific? I don't know, but I like it. I know how slow an ox could plow. Half acre. I know about how big a half acre is. About a 200 by 200. Yeah, close by. Not a very big place. And all of a sudden, they thought the knees were not. They didn't know what was happening. God sent an earthquake. And these Philistines, they got scared. They didn't know what was going on and turned every man on his own fella. And brother, they rolled heads. And the earth began to shake, and Saul got out from under his pomegranate tree. You know, it tickles me the way some folks are. Especially when folks around me all are praying for the Holy Ghost, you know. We've always got the kind of, they just look on, you know. Probably not this church. But most all churches I go to, they have some folks just look on. I wouldn't accuse anybody, but they just have them around. Well, that's not my calling to get around at all. Oh, really? Okay. Go ahead and be a fruit inspector. Yeah. Well, let's see. Saul says, round second. What's going on? And they heard the Philistines over there just screaming at the top of their voice. He says to one of the men, he says, take a roll call and see who's not here. Must be somebody missing. Something stirred that bunk up. They got the leg of check it out. Well, four of them come and said, Jonathan, his armor bearer, is the only one not accounted for. Oh, that Jonathan, I'm telling you. Disturbed my rest. Here I am, laying back here all content under a pomegranate tree. Well, he got up. Okay. Well, let's go up and see what's happening. Ooh, going to that family. That's it, brother. My party of penal. That's it, brother. That's it. Somebody stand back and watch this. Yeah. Man, didn't we have a service last night? I'm telling you. We prayed six through the Holy Ghost. Oh, you did? Well, yeah, sure, man, I'll tell you. The power there, you couldn't stay away from the altar after it got started, didn't you? But here they go. Brother, I mean, heads are rolling. Philistines, they are just killing one another like flies. Just and here comes that 600 that Saul had with him, and they come running up there. You don't see what's going on. And when they saw these dead folks laying all over the place, they said, let's go get them, boys. Now, the bunch of those Hebrews that the Philistines had taken out, the skilled men who were hiding in the holes also with them, when they saw what was going on, they said, hey, let's go home, brother. Here they come back over to the Israelites, you know. They want to get back over there real quick. We're on the losing side over here. We better get over there where we can be identified. The preacher, why are you saying all this? Well, basically because these men were disarmed. And if God had not fought for them, they would have been in bad shape. And if it hadn't been for somebody's faith to say, God, it doesn't matter to him. He can do it whether by many or by few. Amen. Let's just put God to the test and see what God will do. Amen. And that's the way I feel about it tonight. Hey, there's no use to fear or quiver or shake because of being afraid whether God can do it or not. One of the worst times God ever got mad was when folks tried to can him. Hand God, they said. Hand God. Can God what? Can God provide a table in this wilderness? Oh, God got so mad the very thought of people saying, can God? I've led them through the Red Sea. I've given them waters to drink. I've fed them with manna. I've done everything. And now they'll say, can God? We got saints sitting around the church? Well, I don't know. Not like it used to be. I'm not sure whether God can do it anymore or not. I have seen him do it, but you know, it's been so long a time. You know what? All we need to do is forget all of our ills and all of our doubts, amen. Say, hey, all things are possible to them who believe. Amen. God said, all things are possible to them who believe. When you stand praying, believe that you shall receive and you shall have what you ask for. Amen. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. He that asks will receive it. He that seeketh find it. He that knocketh to him it shall be opened. It is possible. If thou believest, thou shalt see the glory. I don't know what your needs might be. I observed the congregation tonight, and I recognize that if there's over one sinner here, that's probably the limit. That is real genuine sinners. May have a few extras hanging along, but like the mixed multitude that came out of the wilderness. But, basically, you all baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and if you haven't, you all be. And there's no use being lost. Hey, neighbor, there's no use being lost. Not with a gospel like we got. Not with a God like we serve. Amen. There's no reason for anybody to be lost because he said it was not his will that anybody perish, but that all men would come to repentance. First of all, I tried to encourage the church to stay armed. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It does not matter. Who says what? If it's not according to this book, forget it. Amen. There's something to tell you, you can have the Holy Ghost without speaking in tongues. That is contrary to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Contrary. I don't believe it. The book says so. That's it. I can prove to you by many, many, many infallible proofs. Everybody that's received the Holy Ghost, speak with tongues, yes, and magnify the Lord. Yes. Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes in, tongues comes along with it. Amen. Well, I just don't believe God heals anymore. All this, hey, forget that. Amen. There are modern day healings, miracles of healing. Amen. God's still healing cancer. A young lady in the Richmond church stood up a few nights ago. She said, I've been on medication for 12 years for high blood pressure. And said, God spoke to me one morning and said, why are you taking those? I have healed you. She was not praying for. She was sitting in the church the night she felt the touch of God come on her. You know, a lot of times we only think God can do things under certain circumstances. Okay, you can have the Holy Ghost if you come here. You can be healed if I anoint you. You can do this, you can do that. We have somehow or other planted this in the minds of people. It's got to be done like this or it can't be done. But I'm here to tell you tonight that where the presence of God is, anything can happen. Amen. Amen. He stood and testified. 12 years I've been on medication. God spoke to me and said, why are you taking that? I have healed you. She said, I didn't pay any attention. I thought that's Ruth Jones. I'm thinking that in my mind. The next morning, God spoke to her again, and she just did away with all of her medication. She stood and testified the other night in church. It had been I don't know, 3 months, I think she said, since she had had a pill. This happened during a service when the presence of God was going out. Amen. A few years back when I was pastor of the church, my wife and I, we prayed for a woman who she was 27 years old. She had scoliosis of the spine. She wore a built-up shoe of about 2 or 3 inches. Her shoulders were bent. Her back was crooked. And her shoulders were square. And she had a hump about the size of half of the size of a football on her shoulders. She came to the church. Kind of shorten the story. I baptized her in Jesus' name. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. One night, shortly after this, we did anoint her. And we did pray for her. But she had come to us right away after we baptized her. She said, I cannot do my housework. I cannot be a wife to my husband like I should, or a mother to my children. I have not known what it is to be without pain from the time I was 3 years old. She was 27 years old. Never had a day without pain in 24 years. And she said, I want you to pray for me. We anointed her with oil in the name of the Lord. And God, whatever is causing this pain, smite it in Jesus' name. Nothing visibly happened. Friday night, she came back. She said, I felt too much better this week. Oh, she said, I've done things I haven't done in years. She said, I want you to pray for me again. Amen. So we re-anointed her. I said, that was doubt. No doubt to it. When Jesus healed the man with the blind eyes, spit on him, put his hands on him, looked up, what do you see? I see a man with trees walking. Something wrong with my face. Men don't look like trees walking. So the Bible said he laid his hand on him again, and this time he saw all things clearly as he ought. So I said, well, you know, this is not a thing of repetition. It didn't happen, so let's do it again. Prayed for the second time. Well, it was, I think, the following Sunday night, irregardless of what night it was, the power began to fall in the song service. My contention has always been, when the power falls, reach out. Lord have mercy. You just don't know when it's coming by you, you know. Just, here I am, Lord, you know. And this girl was sitting over on the right-hand side in the seat. And a young man come running to the altar. He failed God. The power of the Lord had convicted him. Well, he didn't run to the altar. He come right to say, come in on the platform. He said, well, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you something. I looked at him, and I looked at that crowd, and I saw smoke, not visibly. But I knew that the fuse was lit. And it was... He failed God. The power of the Lord had convicted him. Well, he didn't run to the altar. He come right straight to me on the platform. He said, but that's, I need to talk to you. I need to tell you something. I looked at him, and I looked at that crowd, and I saw smoke, not visibly. But I knew that the fuse was lit. And it was sin. I thought, God, I don't want to leave here now. This thing is about to blow the camp off. You know, if it's going to happen, I want to be there, don't you? And you never know what's going to happen. That's why you need to be in church every night. You'll miss something if you don't come. And so, I had a side door right off the end of the platform. I said, go outside that door, I'll be there. And I rushed out there, and he told me, I said, tell me what you want, tell me, and make a snap. He told me what he had done. I said, go in there and hit the altar. I said, if God will forgive you, I will. When I came out, I wasn't gone for 30 seconds, I don't think. When I came out, I saw Pat Floyd standing. Shoulders back against the back door, up to the back wall. And she looked at me and hit me. And I said, you know what? I mean, you talk about a home run hitter. She had made 3 bases already with him for home. She come down that aisle, and when she got just about there, she had both hands, and her eyes passed. I didn't know what she was going to do to me. I didn't know why. I just stood there and braced myself. She slammed on the brake. Wheel around and put the back there. Feel my back. My hump is gone. I look. I said, I see. Oh, but she said, feel him. Well, I'm joking. I said, I don't go around shooting ladies' backs, but you're... But I said, I believe I could have that night. The Bible says, those who are pure, all things are pure. And I don't think anybody would have thought one thing about it if I would have run. But I can see it. Later on, she explained what happened. She was sitting in the street, and she felt both, with the pile had fallen, she was sitting there, and she felt both her shoulders go back against the field. Otherwise, that big old hump, you know, kept her awake. And to prove to herself, I mean, she couldn't see the back, her back, so she didn't run to the back wall and put both feet against the face and ran the shoulders backwards and felt both shoulders hit the wall. Well, you said, why did she get so excited? Well, 24 years of hell, and all of a sudden, Jesus said, well, this woman whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, ought not she be loose from her infirmity? That's what happened to her. For 24 years, the devil had her bound, and all of a sudden, she straightened up. She didn't have to wear the build-up shoes. Her shoulders squared up. The next morning after that, she went down to the courtesy booth in the Phillips drugstore to pay their utility bills. She'd seen this woman many times. When she walked in, that woman that was going to take her money, she looked at her and said, Pat Claudia, you've had an operation. She said, yes, I have. She said, Jesus Christ healed me and took that hump off of my back. While she was testifying, several of the ladies walked up, four, five or six of them walked up to pay their bill. Amen. She says when she turned and saw tears were streaming down their faces. Amen. She was, hey, you know, this is something to get excited about. You say, oh, it could never happen to me. Why not? This woman, the Bible, and she told her, she said, I have been in and out of the hospital so many times that there's nothing they can do for me. Amen. But in one snap of your fingers, Almighty God, that cut that thing off as slick as a whistle. Amen. Well, her unbelieving husband, he was a drunkard, never would come to church. Closest he ever got was the rest of you one night, and he was drinking men. He brought her, dumped her out, let her go. He went home, flipped the clothes off, walked in, said, Robert, look what God did for me tonight. And he looked at her back and he said, light of hands. I said, my God, if I had hands like that, I'd be using them all over the place, you know. I'd walk down to the hospital, hocus pocus, you know. 1 year later, I buried him. My wife and I was making contact on Saturday morning on the side of down North East Street. She said, stop! I looked both ways. I thought I was about to run over somebody, and nobody there. She said, right here. Yes, she did. Almost had a heart attack. Anyway, she walked up, knocked on the door. Robert came to the door. His daughter, this is just the fellow I was looking for. She walked in the door. She backed up. He said, I'm not ready to join that church. I don't want to come to that church. I'm not coming down there. And he kept backing up, and she kept that finger going like this. And they say she's got a wicked-looking finger, but she gets it going like this. He backed him in a corner where he couldn't move. He said, I'm not asking you to join our church. You can't join our church. I just want you to promise you're going to come. 1 year later, or 2 weeks, or 2 weeks later after this, early one morning, I got a phone call. Do you know a Robert Claude? Yes. What about it? This is Sergeant so-and-so on the Indiana State Police. That's the sheriff's office. I've had a fatality. I said, how many? I said, one. I was afraid his wife would lose. He's been out looking for liquor. Fact is, he asked her to go along. He said, no, Robert, I'm not going with you. I'm just going over here and get some cigarettes. No, I'm not going to go. He stayed at his sister's house while he went. The next time she heard from him was 7 o'clock the next morning when I walked down and went to their house and told her, your husband's dead. went to Cayman City, Indiana, to identify the body. Man looks different laying on a cold slab with a white sheet over him. Did you know that? But when he does, when he's got grease on his fingers, that's our working on him. Yeah. Sheriff says, is that him? Sure looks like it, but man, I really hadn't seen him like that before, you know. Laying on a cold marble slab with a white sheet up here. So we had to cut him out of the car. A preacher's funeral, his sister. Laid down on the seat, right out in front of him. Stuck both fingers in her ears. Brother Stephen, right after they stopped their ears. Didn't want to hear what he had to say. You know, it's just too bad that people don't want to be saved. Yeah, I mean, it's a shame, because after all, Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And the beautiful part about it is everybody can be saved if they want to be saved. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you don't have to walk out of here lost. I'm here to tell you tonight, you can make one trip to this altar. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and mean it from your heart. Now, how long do I have to stay there? How long does it take you to say it? Repentance is repentance. There's no way for you can go back over your life and say, my God, you remember 1947, I did this, and 50, I did so-and-so, and somewhere else I did this. Oh, God, I'm sorry for all those sins. Hey, just tell him, God, I'm a sinner. You know I'm a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner. I want to be saved. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I've got Bible proof that he'll have mercy. You're going to rise and walk through the water and be baptized in Jesus' name, and everything you ever committed is gone. And what you do from this night forward is the thing that will go against you or for you. You don't have to be lost. Amen. Amen. I talked to the church about being disarmed and so on and so forth, but I'm talking to you now. If you don't meet no God, if you're here without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Because that is the Spirit of Christ in you. Amen. And that's what's going to get you out of here when he comes after your church. And you can't go without it. Amen. Without the Spirit of Christ, because you're not here. Oh, God, help us tonight. I hope I've said something tonight to help somebody. I really do. Because, after all, that's what it's all about. Amen. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. I tried to do that tonight. I hope that whatever your particular need is, that you would take advantage of this situation. You may have things existed in your life right now. You may need to come here tonight as a saint of God. God, I'm going to clean up my own backyard. You'll let me get home. Keep me in faith and help. I'm going to clean up. I've got some things I need to do. But God, by your help and by your grace, I'm going to get a job done. As of now, God, I'm going to do it. I promise you, God, I'm going to do it. Don't justify yourself in sin. Because no flesh shall be justified in God's sight. Don't let the devil make you believe you're all right when you know down here there is a fluttering sensation, a condemnation that tells you, hey, boy, you're wrong. Something's wrong with you down there. If your heart condemns you, the Bible says God's greater than your heart, and you better thank God for it. Condemnation is a wonderful thing. It's like a dipstick in an oil pan. You know, you reach in and get it out. Hey, I'm low on oil. The condemnation, the Bible says, just because light has come. God sheds light, and condemnation comes with it. There's only one thing to do. Amen. That's to undo or do whatever has to be done. Amen. Let's just talk to the Lord a bit and have at it. Lord, I want to thank you for being merciful to us tonight. Thank you for the word of the Lord. We thank you for everything that's been done.